Hello, it's Ari Rosenbaum here with another episode of that 401k podcast. This week's subject, coronavirus concerns for 401k plan providers, which is kind of appropriate because that's the news that's pretty much dominating the entire world. Of course, now, this is the part of the show where I'm supposed to talk about that 401k conference and the events that we have planned. Unfortunately, the Houston event on April 17th and the St. Louis event on May 8th are going to have to be rescheduled. Working on a date for St. Louis in mid-June. Hopefully that will work out. Houston, I'm waiting from the Astros as to when the season starts and when other dates available. Outside of that, we hope to hold the conference in Minneapolis on Friday, June the 5th at Target Field. So as far as the fall events, we're going to see what events we can schedule. And again, if we have to have some events in September to take place of what, you know, transpired and was postponed in April, May, we will do so. In addition, we did book Friday, December 4th. Hopefully by then everything will be over. I have a sense that, you know, God willing, it will be. We'll be in Summerlin, Nevada, which is 20 minutes away from the Las Vegas Strip, at the Las Vegas Ballpark, which is the home of the Las Vegas Aviators, which is the AAA ball club of the Oakland Athletics. So we'll have a fun event there. We're going to get some, you know, pretty good guests. One good guest in mind. Hopefully he can attend. And go to that 401ksite.com for further information on all the events that I run. I'm planning another unique event that probably by next week I'll have all the details. Something very, very different and unique and kind of appropriate with what's going on in the world today. So I'm not in a bunker, but sometimes it feels like it. I live in the South Shore of Long Island, and unfortunately, New York, especially New York City, is like the ground zero. Kind of hate that word because of what it represents with 9/11, but we are the ground zero for coronavirus infections in the United States. I think in New York, New York State, we're more than half the cases. It's really incredible what's going on. Outside of going out of my house to shop and buy, you know, bagels every morning for my kids who are home, don't go out much. I'm pretty healthy, but coronavirus, it's not something that I want to have any part of it. Hopefully this kind of nightmare that's been going on in the world and especially our country will end soon. Hopefully by the time you hear this, you know, maybe we flatten the curve. Probably not, but one can only hope. So, kind of appropriate again with what's going on in the world today, I wanted to talk about how, you know, plan providers dealing with the coronavirus and how it's affecting business and how it's affecting everything. And I started out in this business in September 8th, 1998. I don't know why I still remember the exact date, but I do. And, you know, a couple years in, we had September 11th. I was in the office. I was working for a third-party administration firm, in Syosset, which is about, you know, 35, 40 miles away from Manhattan. And I remember salesperson that I work with by the name of Richard Larita says to me, oh, you know, plane just hit the World Trade Center. And, you know, you hear that, I'm like, why would a plane hit the World Trade Center? To me, you know, it just didn't make any sense that it would be a terrorist act. And of course, my friend Rich, may he rest in peace, said, oh, you know, it's had to be an accident. And obviously, when the second plane hit, we knew that it wasn't an accident. And, you know, the fallout from that, I just remember being in the office that day And we're talking about, the stock market's going to be closed, and what do we do with the trades and all that. And I'm just sitting there, like, in complete and utter shock. It was just mind-blowing. And, obviously, at the time, we were already in a bear market. The dot-bomb era had started the previous year when, finally, Wall Street investors realized that the valuations on some of these internet companies were obscene. And of course, September 11th only made things worse. But when you think about September 11th, how negatively impacted our economy, you had well over almost 4,000 people dying. Obviously with the World Trade Center being destroyed, the Pentagon, and of course, the courageous people on United 93, was it Shanksburg, Pennsylvania, or whatnot? It was a tragedy, the greatest tragedy that I've ever been, experienced. But when we look at how it impacted the country, outside of those areas where the terrorist attacks occurred, life kind of went on. People did contribute, and we were all unified in the support of our country, but it was, something that, again, was local to us in New York, somewhere out in the Midwest, it didn't impact them at all. And the coronavirus pandemic is something that is, again, it's not the tragedy of September 11th, but it's something that's a greater challenge to this country because, so much of our lives have changed, obviously not for the better. When you look at the, in my area, the local businesses, the restaurants that can no longer offer table service, everything has to be takeout. In New York, all non-essential businesses are closed. So, the local GameStop, right before the order came into close, I got the last copy of MLB The Show 20 for my son, Jason. These businesses closed. If they're non-essential, clothing stores, whatnot, you're closed down. And if you're a mom-and-pop shop, being closed down, not having any business, it's negatively impacting you. And obviously, the concern with, September 11th, obviously, was the aviation industry that suffered as a result of all those terrorist attacks on the commercial airliners. But here we have, this coronavirus pandemic affecting all businesses, all industries, even with us in the retirement plan business. For example, I was talking to somebody who was a third-party administration firm, and they actually administer plans for gentlemen's establishments or strip clubs. And, of course, they're closed as well in New York. And that, negatively impacts business. And it's a challenge. And, it's just an extreme challenge that is affecting us from coast to coast. And again, I survived Hurricane Sandy. Half my house was destroyed here on the South Shore of Long Island. If you went to the next village over in Rockville Center, almost nobody had any flooding. So once you went outside of, Long Beach, Oceanside, some of the area, Lindenhurst, in some of the South Shore communities, you didn't see the impact. And of course, now with this coronavirus pandemic, we see everything. It is affecting everything in our business. And, it's still, a huge issue and a huge problem. And, it's a challenge. And, it's an extreme challenge, and with a challenge, we have the decision whether we're accepted or we're not going to accept it. And first things first, when dealing with the coronavirus for plan providers, number one, Going back to my appearance on the Retireholics, I remember J.D. Carlson saying, well, you know, Ari, you're known as a pessimist. And I kind of said, you know what, I'm not a pessimist. I'm the turd in the punch bowl, which was an episode about a week or so ago on this podcast. And I said, you know, I'm the turd in the punch bowl. I'm just the kind of guy who kind of upsets things by expressing my opinion and not holding back and not censoring myself. And I guess that's, you know, hereditary sometimes. You know, I've had a few relatives who are kind of that way. They, you know, felt the need not to censor themselves, and I kind of feel the same way. And the number one thing when it comes to concerns for plan providers is, it's a sad fact, but there are going to be plan providers that are going to go out of business, whether it's a third-party administration firm or whether it's going to be a financial advisory firm. There are going to be companies that are going to go out of business. It's just a fact. You know, it's a fact because, you know, when you look at tough economic times, people, you know, don't want to think about 401k plans. It's a challenging time. Advisory firms are going to get hurt as a result of a bear market. So there are going to be a lot of firms out there that are not going to be up to the challenge, and they're either going to go out of business or they're going to get gobbled up by a larger provider because the owner of the company just wanted to cash out and just had enough. This change is like the changing tide in the ocean. And, you know, the point is that, you know, whether you're going to thrive or not in this business is how you navigate those waves. And the waves, the tides change at certain times. And, you know, for a lot of us, it's, you know, change is opportunity. And for a lot of us, change is the end of business because we cannot adapt to change. And you will see that. And that's you know, that's just the truth. I remember many years ago when I worked for a third-party administration firm and we got gobbled up by a company that was trying to bundle up all these advisory firms and TPA firms. And I actually said to a fellow employee, you know, with any change when you're bought out, there's obviously going to be change because somebody bought the two partners out. And that's just that's just how business operates. One company buys another, of course it's going to change. And of course, this employee, who I named the Norma principal after, she just, of course, ratted me, stooged me out to the boss, and the boss said, oh, you're negatively impacting morale. And I said, what are you talking about? All I just said was, you know, when there's a purchase of a business, you know, there's change, and that always happens, and that's just a fact of business. It's nothing personal. That's the thing. And so it's nothing personal that there are going to be some plan providers that are going to go out of business. It's just the nature of business and the nature of change. And there are a lot of companies out there that just cannot deal with change. Second thing, keep things in perspective. This is not the end of the world. When my house was half destroyed by Hurricane Sandy, so I live on a high ranch. And the bottom floor, I don't really have a basement. The bottom floor is this living space, which, you know, had all my kids' toys and stuff. And we had, you know, my office, and we had another bedroom in here. And half the house was destroyed. And I remember my wife and my kids had to go to a shelter because we were in an evacuation zone. And if my kids didn't go to the shelter, then Child Protective Services were probably going to get called. And I decided to stay because I had a pump that I was going to try to work and see by using a generator to pump, you know, whatever water I could pump out of my bottom floor. And when I was there all alone, I thought of Rudy Giuliani said the story on around September 11th, he was surrounded by, you know, so much tragedy and death. So many people he knew in the fire department were killed. And they asked him, how did you, you know, overcome it? And he said he read, you know, books concerning Winston Churchill. And I thought about my grandparents who had survived the Holocaust, and I realized that, you know what? Yeah, it's freezing in the house. I don't have any heat. I don't have any electricity. Half my house is destroyed. And I looked to what they did and how they survived the Holocaust and the horror they had to see and you know, the horror of being worked to death and not being able to eat and whatnot, and you know, the courage that they had to survive, because so many Holocaust survivors actually died right after liberation because of starvation and typhoid and all these other things, that, you know, it really kept things in perspective, that no matter what I was going through in life, it paled in comparison to what my grandparents had suffered. You need to keep things in perspective. This is a terrible, terrible thing. But you know what? In our nation's history, we have gone through terrible, terrible things. I don't think this is as bad as World War II, when a couple hundred thousand of our boys went to Europe and to the Pacific and never came home. This is obviously different. This is its own unique challenges. But, you know, we live in a time where we can beat this. My great aunt, 18 years old, died in the Spanish influenza pandemic back then. We have the technology, we have the medical know-how in order to stem this, in order to flatten the curve that they couldn't do in 1916 through 1918. So keep things in perspective. This isn't the end of the world. It's obviously a challenge, and we will get through this one way or the other. Next, again, times are tough. And going back to Hurricane Sandy, one of my favorite people is my mechanic, Ralph. I wrote a chapter about Ralph in my last book. I love Ralph because I think he's one of the most unique businessmen. Very straightforward. Doesn't have, I don't think, you know, Ralph probably only has a high school education, but he's one of the smartest businessmen I know. He's probably smarter than most people have MBAs. And Ralph's garage after Hurricane Sandy wasn't touched because his side of Oceanside is 17 feet above sea level, and I'm underneath sea level. So anyway, Ralph had no electricity, and more importantly, about a third of his clients had to get new cars. And if anything you know about new cars compared to old cars is new cars need less mechanic work than older cars. So Ralph knew that his business was going to be negatively impacted. And he decided that his most important asset were his mechanics. And he realized that in this day and age, they're, you know, finding a good mechanic is hard. So what did Ralph do? Ralph decided that he was going to put his, you know, hand in his pocket and his life savings, and he was going to, you know, dig in and, you know, pay for his employees to continue to be on payroll, because he realized that he couldn't afford to let them go because he can never replace them. So, in that, you know, now 2020, Ralph's doing well. Ralph's got more customers. His competition, a lot of garages closed in the area. He only really has one major competitor in all of Oceanside. He's done, you know, terrific, and he realized by dipping in and keeping his employees, he was able to thrive later on. And, you know, while we think about technology and we think about relationships and forms of distribution, but the most important thing for plan providers are their employees. Because from experience, this business has too many ineffective employees. Whether it's they are incompetent or whether they never had the training, good help, in my opinion, is hard to come by. And if you're a plan provider, you really have to think, you know, the necessity of keeping your staff in place. Because if you lose somebody who's really, really good, chances are you're never going to find a person like that again. Or you might, but it's going to take some time. You know, you're going to have to make some tough decisions if you have to. Are you going to have to dip in your pocket and keep payroll going? I don't know. You know, you might have to, you know, cut back hours in some employees. You might have to furlough them. And you might have to terminate some. And, you know, if you do, if you can't be in the position like Ralph the Mechanic is, I think one concern that I have is to understand that whatever decisions you make, you have to keep in mind of the feelings of the people that you're going to have to get rid of, as well as the feelings of those who remain. Just this week, again, within less than 2 weeks of everything closing down here in New York, a law firm that I had interviewed with over 10 years ago, around the time I started my own practice, funny thing about the firm is I interviewed over there and I still haven't heard back whether I got that associate position or not. Maybe I should contact them. Anyway, I think there are 50 lawyers there. All of a sudden now, they're trimming their staff, and they were exposed in one of these law websites that they, you know, they're getting rid of staff and whatnot, and the email that they sent out to the employees that remained was so impersonal, you know, just kind of saying that they had to make some, you know, cuts, like they're making some roster cuts, like, you know, in spring training when the major league teams have to get down to 26 players. It was just so impersonal. It was so cold and it was so lack of feeling. I think whatever decision you make, even if it doesn't come to terminations or furloughs or whatever it is, realize that any decision you make, your employees have feelings. I think people lack empathy. I try to have empathy. Most of the time I'm good at it. Sometimes I'm not. When dealing with employees, realize that they do have feelings. My favorite story about the lack of empathy is talking about 2002 when, again, the market wasn't doing well, and I worked as an attorney for a law firm that was in connection with a third-party administration firm. And on Valentine's Day in 2002, they terminated about 7 or 8 people. Plan administrator, staff, whatever, there had to be a cutback. And the craziest story about that was the following day, there was pizza for those who survived the terminations. And people were upset and actually didn't eat the pizza because they felt like, you know, it was kind of disrespectful. Of course, knowing me, free pizza is free pizza. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, it wasn't baked with anybody's blood. It was okay to eat. But, you know, when I asked Harvey, who was one of the guys running the company, who I adored, I said, whose dumb idea was that? Because it was just really just, you know, disrespectful. It was just kind of odd. And then, of course, Harvey said that he came up with the idea. And, of course, me being the third in the punch bowl, thought it was a really bad idea. And I kind of told him that it was. But I think that any decision you make as a plan provider, you got to do it with a little empathy for your employees. Next, the market's going to be choppy. Just today as I record it, the market went up about 11% after going down about 30 to 40%. It's been nice to be having money to buy in the dips as I've been doing the last couple weeks. But, you know, the market's still choppy. We don't know how that, you know, we know that the second quarter is going to be terrible, especially for financial advisors who do get paid basis points on plan assets. Q2 is not going to look great. Hopefully Q3 and Q4 will turn around. I don't know whether it will. I'm not a financial expert, but even when it comes to predictions, I'm also not any type of, mind reader. I don't read palms. I can't predict the future. It's going to be tough. You know, be prepared that this pandemic, even if we flatten the curve within the next couple weeks or next couple months, realize that we're probably still going to have an effect from it for, you know, the foreseeable future. It could be, you know, even with the stock market gains and whatnot, could be 2 or 3 years before we get out of this rut. If you're like me, you have this doctrine of shelter in place. It really depends on where you live, whether you are under an order or not. If you are in order, or if you're not, don't use this time to be a hermit. You know, while you may feel that you're in some sort of witness protection program by huddling in your house, realize that that doesn't mean that you should be a hermit when it comes to business. We have telephones, we have emails, we have Skype, we have Zoom, we have all these great little gadgets that we didn't have 20 years ago. Take advantage of it. As a plan provider, your clients need to see you one way or the other. They need to know that you're still there. I have this kind of expression in life, and it's based on experiences. And the saying really is, I needed you, you weren't there, I don't need you anymore. And when you have clients who, you know, seeing what the stock market looks like and panicking and whatnot, if they feel that you're invisible or missing in action, they're going to remember it when the time comes to replace you. You know, that's just the nature of the business. If you're gone, you're forgotten. And, you know, as a plan provider, you can't afford to be missing in action. Because, like I always say, as a plan provider, you got about a dozen people that are just willing and able to replace you. That's the beauty and kind of the tragedy of this business, is that no matter how what a job you're doing, you can easily get replaced by somebody just as good as you, or close to as good as you, and there's kind of nothing you can do about it. And so that's why I think that you need to be out there. You need to be that voice of reason and that voice of calm in turbulent times. Plan sponsors want to hear from you. So therefore, it's just not a good idea just to be a hermit and whatnot and just be invisible. Next, yeah, these are challenging times. These are tough times. These aren't easy times. But as I always say, every challenge is an opportunity. 8 years ago, we had this thing called the fee disclosure regulation. It's kind of crazy that it's been 8 years already. God, do I feel old. But anyway, when the fee disclosure regulations came, you know, were being implemented in July 2012, you had a lot of plan providers who swore that it was going to be the end of the retirement plan business. They said that there was going to be a race to zero. You know, the cheapest providers are going to win out. And the truth is, fees did narrow. Transparency created greater competition. But the cheapest providers didn't get all the business. It's still a highly competitive marketplace. And those plan providers that saw fee disclosure as an opportunity did very well. And those who were very good at hiding their fees didn't do so well when fee transparency was there. So every challenge is an opportunity. I think as a plan provider dealing with potential clients, make sure you're out there. Make sure you communicate. I have a good advisor that's a client of mine. And they said, you know what? We're plowing away. We want to be out there in the minds and the hearts of these plan sponsors. We want to be heard from more than their current plan providers. And, you know, that was, you know, I think that's the way you make business. I think that's the way you generate business. By being out there in the open, by communicating, you know, I'm trying to do my end with some of the articles dealing with coronavirus and how that affects plan sponsors and plan providers as well. You know, look at what the competition is doing. And I think a lot of the competition isn't out there, you know, talking to their clients. And you know, I always say that the most relationships in my life that failed because of a lack of communication. And that's why a lot of plan providers get terminated, because there was a lack of communication. And it's really important as a plan provider that you go out there and you communicate with these potential clients. And of course, you know, communicating with your current clients as well. You know, fortune favors the bold. You know, sitting back and twiddling your thumbs isn't going to help you in generating a new type of business. So, you know, those are my 2 cents. And in conclusion, you know, you're here, you're reading my articles, you're listening to this podcast, I'm here for you. Any type of question, phone call, preferably an email, you got any issues, whatnot, I'm there for you. I'm not a witness protection. I got 2 teenagers home, so I'm trying to keep as busy as I can, especially because, you know, they like to talk, and there's minimal homework being given out. So, I hope that you enjoyed this episode, and I hope this is the last episode that we talk about coronavirus. We'll see what happens, but I hope, you know, I wish you nothing but good health and avoiding this thing, and like I said, we're going to get through this together. So, hope to, you know, hope you guys listen to my next episode, and again, check that foreignksite.com for further information about my events. Thank you. Take care. Bye.